This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dave, for the introduction. And today, we are talking about a very interesting, I think very important subject as well. You are listening to the Christian War Room, and we are looking here against strongholds which elevate themselves, which set themselves up against the knowledge of God. And we are looking at a very strange age we are living in right now. And the stuff we are seeing today in this generation, in this decade, we haven't seen anything like it before for a long, long time. I mean, maybe even the Roman Empire at its most decadent point wasn't coming up with the things that are happening today. Okay, battle for the children. We have to look at this world from the enemy's perspective, and we need to engage in battle. We need to let people know, you know, what the truth is and what are they doing. We need to present to them the plan of God and the way of God. Not that this will lead them to salvation if they do the right thing. The only way they can do the right thing is to come to Jesus Christ, to realize that they're sinners and that they're hopelessly sold under sin, that they've become slaves to sin and doing stuff which is very much against God and very much opposing God. And we need to get to a point to tell these people, you know, the people in the world, that there is a way out, and that this way out is number one, somebody else who has suffered for their sin, somebody who can provide redemption for their sin, and somebody who has shed his blood so that they can be made righteous before God. And that somebody is Jesus Christ. And that's really the message we need to get out there. But Jesus said a very interesting verse, that whosoever sins or does sin is mastered by sin. And very often this mastery can, you know, blind people and make it a little bit harder for them to really come to God, to be sensitive to God, to have a desire to seek God. If anything, people naturally will try to run away from God and will not want to be reminded of the sin they have committed, and that's driving them, that's pushing them away from God. Again, we've got an enemy. The enemy, Ephesians 6, is very clear. He's the rulers of the air, principalities, rulers of the air, which are in the unseen world, and which set themselves up against the living God. And they try to push mankind into total and utter rebellion against God. The enemy hates life, he hates people, and one thing he would really like to see is for mankind to destroy itself. And, you know, to hurt God in this way. And I want to look at what is happening to our youngsters today. What is happening for the children? Yeah, and it's a battle for the children we are dealing with. And as a church, we need to rise up. There are a couple of aspects here. There's number one, our own children. You know, what's happening to them? How can we look after them? How can we make sure that they don't become cannon fodder for the devil? And then obviously it's this world as well. There are so many children out there who are really suffering, who have been abandoned by their parents. And sometimes even before birth, they've been abandoned by their parents. Okay, the first thing I wanna look at is the whole abortion issue. Abortion, they call it pro-choice. I call it pro-death. It assumes, and this is sort of the fallacy which is there. So, and it's we're coming right back to the issue in Genesis. We're coming right back to Darwinism, where people in school are taught that the fetus inside of them is just a bunch of cells. There's no life attached to it, no real life attached to it. And for some strange reason, people think that that real life only starts. And I think that's a philosophy which is in many abortionist nations. Which is put up, real life only starts when the fetus is capable of surviving the outside of the womb. And obviously that time is being pushed down further and further. It used to be like 7 months, now it's going to six, and I'm not quite sure how far down they can push it. I'm not an expert in this area, but it's being pushed a lot further down, so that some of the time periods where abortion is allowed go right into the time when it's possible for a fetus to survive, outside the womb should the baby be born early or prematurely. And then we have to look at this. Now, if the baby is outside the womb, yeah, and somebody, you know, it's in a in an incubator, and somebody comes along and turns off the incubator or does any harm to the baby, that person will be considered a murderer. But if the baby is inside the womb, even though it is perfectly capable of surviving on the outside, and somebody goes in with a scalpel and with tools to stop the heartbeat of the baby, to kill the baby, that is perfectly acceptable in this generation. And one thing we have to see is that that there's a big problem here. There's, number one, a massive hypocrisy, even when we consider it under some of the concepts and the laws which have been produced by societies. And I'm talking about the UK, you know, where people can abort at quite an advanced stage. And I'm talking about America as well. And the main point is, when does life start? The Bible is very clear. The Bible talks about that God has knitted us together in our mother's womb. And at the point, I would go that far and say, at the point of conception, life is holy and life is there. And nobody's got the right to induce a miscarriage, to induce an abortion, to kill the fetus in the mother's womb, or to do any harm to the fetus in the mother's womb. And that is very clear. Life is holy. Life is something special. And what is happening today is really bad, you know. And what people are being taught within the pro-choice movement is just a bunch of lies. And the result is quite traumatic. I would like, we've got one team member on BPN Radio who is an expert in this, and I would like to get on an interview one day, but it is a very, very serious issue. And if you're listening to this broadcast, and maybe you are a lady who's considering abortion, and the reasons might be perfectly, I put this in inverted commas, perfectly logical. Yeah, because you are young, you've got your life ahead of you, you've got a career to think about, maybe you've got too many kids already. In your opinion, maybe the father of the child is not right. Maybe even you come to a point that that the way the child was procreated, conceived, was not the way you wanted it to be. You know, it might have been forced or whatever. And it may be really, really hard to accept this child, but one thing I want to put forward to you, and that is that it is not the child's fault, whatever has happened, however it came into life. And I would like to encourage you, I would like to encourage you to, number one, to bring it before God, to ask God to give you all you need to be able to bring up this child. And to abstain from this decision of terminating the child's life prematurely before it has had a chance to live. It's hard. It's easy for me to say, I'm a man, I'll never be pregnant, and I never have a chance of being pregnant, despite what the gender people try to make us believe. But it's easy for me to talk about these things, and I know the consequences are quite severe. But my friend, it's life. It's life. It's life God has given. And it's life which is there inside of you. Don't terminate it. Don't kill it. You will have to live with the guilt if you go ahead with this. And it's going to haunt you for the rest of your life. There'll be something there which you will have to live with, you know, for a long, long time. And so don't do it. Just don't do it. If you've got an appointment at the abortion clinic, I really want to encourage you to just cancel the appointment. And if anything, you know, if you feel you can't do it any other way, rather give up the child for abortion and carry it to full term and give it up for abortion, then taking an innocent life. Yeah. Anyway, it's one of the points, I believe, the enemy is attacking us. And when you look at some of the statistics about abortion, they are shocking. They're absolutely shocking. And I'm just looking at those statistics here, but they're shocking. and it's like cities, literally cities are going to be terminated every year. Okay, I'm going to give you a figure here for 2016. That's a figure I have for the United Kingdom. Now, the United Kingdom, if you listen from America, has got a population of, I think it's about 60 million, coming somewhere between 60 and 80 million. And there were 185,000 babies which were aborted in the United Kingdom in 2016. And that equates about two cities, you know. So it's 185,366 lives have been terminated prematurely. That's two cities, you know, which here in Britain have just been killed, just murdered. Yeah. Okay, now there are a couple of arguments which come up all the time, and it's interesting as well. I can see this here on the statistic. There's always a health reason, you know. There's sometimes if the baby is brought to full term, the mother's going to die. And it's interesting. It says here that only 35 abortions were carried out under Ground C due to physical health problems. Only 34. And all the other abortions were down to social reasons. Yeah. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Let's have a look, see whether we can pick up some statistics about America. It's shocking. It's really, really shocking when you look at the scale of this, you know, what is being done. Right, we've got abortion statistics here. So in 1970 in America, we had 193,000. And in 2014, we had 652,000. 652,000 abortions were reported. The peak of the years, I've got a really nice long statistic here, was in, let's have a look. About 1990, where we had 1.5 million babies who were aborted in America. And from 1970 to today, 45 million babies have been aborted. 45 million. That is half the population of the UK. More than half the population of the UK. They've just been murdered. A shocking, absolutely shocking. And I'm speechless when I look at these figures. But one of the things which, you know, which we are pushed into is like a lie that has been, you know, pushed down, which I believe, firmly believe, by the enemy, that people think it's all too much, you know, they can't look after the baby, they will not have the means to do it, and then they choose a way to abort. Okay, what else can I say about this? If I'm a history buff and I love to go back in history and I love to look at the way people used to live. And there were times in history, which were pretty much most of the times, where children were welcome. They were considered to be an addition to the tribe. Even going as far back, I mean, you may think that the Nazis were horrible people and that it was a horrible time and so on, but something like that didn't exist within Nazi Germany. Babies were not aborted. On the contrary, women were encouraged to have as many babies as possible, obviously, possibly for the wrong reasons. But you didn't have this weird attitude where people make lifestyle choices because it's not the right time in their life. It's not, you know, opportune moment. It's unplanned and therefore it's unwanted and therefore the option of aborting the child is available because Darwinism tells us that it's just like a frog or just like something else, like a cluster of cells. Nobody looks at the issue that this is a real human being. There's a soul attached to this to this new creation, and it's planned, it is wanted by God, and then we come along and we make the decision to just terminate and to kill unborn life. Sometimes so late that if they were outside the womb, those babies could survive without any problems. Okay, I don't want to sort of go through the horrors of abortion any further. I just want to make the point that this is a battle against against our children, and this is a battle for our children. The many children have never been given the chance to enjoy life outside the womb. But they've been, you know, come into existence and blown out of existence within days. And that's a real battle. That's a real battle. Other than that, there's a big issue about forgiveness as well. And maybe I'm talking to you and you've been through this step. Maybe you are a man who's been encouraging a girlfriend or a wife or, you know, somebody you know to have an abortion, and you've been pushing them into this, and you're just as guilty as a person who's done this, as a lady who's gone through with it. And I want to urge you to seek forgiveness. You've sinned. You've done a terrible sin against a human life. You've murdered human life. And it's important that you seek forgiveness, that you seek forgiveness. Now, God is willing to forgive you, and God will receive a repentant sinner, you know, without a problem. But it's important that you deal with this issue. If you are a lady who has been through this and who have been either pushed into this decision, or you maybe thought yourself that it's not the right time, and you listen to all these voices which come into you from society, you know, from your family, from maybe your partner, and again, you know, I just want to encourage you to really, you know, take your guilt and go before God and receive forgiveness in repentance. And that is so important, and I can't sort of underline it enough. And we are, again, you know, this is a real battle. When you look at the astronomical proportions, you know, in the UK and in the USA, when you just look at those statistics, 2016, almost 200,000, I think, what was it, 180,000 babies being aborted. And then in the UK, between 1970 and 2014, we've got 45 million. I mean, 45 million, it's just unimaginable, yeah? It's like a war, it's like World War II. World War II, 88 million people died. World War I, about 20 million people. But here we've got it that people have just voluntarily killed their own family, yeah? Because of bad advice, because of, you know, what people have been telling them, you know, just a bunch of lies. And then in the end, we are left, or, you know, women are left to deal with the guilt and everything that is there. 185,000 in Britain not last year, that was in 2016. Crazy figures, absolutely crazy figures. And again, it's just too many. Even if it's just one single abortion, it's just too many. They are real people. There's real life. There's your own flesh and blood who is longing for love, for life, for a chance, and it's been taken away from them. Absolutely horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. Okay, I want to go a little bit further and look at in the war room, yeah, the battle for the children. And one thing, and sometimes this leads directly into the whole abortion issue, is the disintegration of family. You know that, and again, I'm 50 years old, so if I go one generation back, if I go to my parents' generation, things were pretty clear cut. You know, you got married quite early. You didn't have maybe too long of a dating period. This can be a good thing, can be a bad thing. It depends how you look at this, but generally people stuck together. And if you had kids, and even if it didn't work very well, you stuck together for the kids' sake. And you just, this concept, which is quite biblical, is you deny yourself. And in the Bible, we have you follow Christ. Even amongst non-Christians or people who weren't, you know, strong Christians in their faith, they would deny themselves and for the sake of their children, you know, make the marriage work. And stick together, you know, go through the dry patches of a marriage, but make sure that the kids are okay. and that was sort of a priority. And you found this very often, this attitude on both parts of the couple. I know personally a few couples, you know, who are now, you know, in their 80s and quite old, but they've been through this. Yeah, they had kids and they just couldn't get on with one another. They had a really hard time and they were bickering all the time. But for the sake of the kids, they carried on and they, you know, they made it work. Personally, I think, and I just want to make this point here at on BPN Radio, that every child has got a right to a father and a mother. And like in my case, my father died when I was 9 years old. I know what it's like to have a father. I know what it's like not to have a father, and to grow up in this in both environments, really. And in my case, I mean, it was nobody's fault, you know. He got sick, my father got sick, and he was sick for a long time, and eventually he succumbed to his sickness, to his illness. It was very hard on me, and I know how hard it is, but again, as a society, we need to get away from this, you know, easy come, easy go setup or mentality which we often display, but we need to, you know, build strong families and encourage strong families, families to stay together, for couples to stay together, and also for people to bring up, for fathers to bring up their children and not to run away from their responsibilities, and for mothers to respect fathers for doing so. It's a very sore point, and I know there are a million reasons why marriages break down and why, you know, kids grow up without a father or without a mother, but things just go wrong, and I know there's abuse, there's, you know, physical abuse, there's violence and all this stuff, which I totally understand, and it's a real problem in society. But if you can, yeah, you know, and this is my appeal to you guys out there, you know, man up and treat your woman with respect, with love. Make sure that she knows that you care for her and that you are there for her, come what may, yeah, and that you care for your children, that you put the needs of your children on a very high priority in your life, possibly even more than your need for, you know, a good car or status or whatever. And also for your women out there, I want to encourage you to just respect your husbands and to let them know that you need them and that they are special in your lives, and to make sure that they are okay to look after them, to nurture them as far as possible, and to build strong relationships, to build strong families. And I've seen this so many times that it's really difficult for kids when they are little, the parents split up. They don't understand all the ins and outs, and very often guilt comes into it, and they feel it's their fault that their parents have split up, and all sorts of, you know, things come as a result of it, like drugs, suicide attempts, depression, self-esteem problems, and so on. It goes on and on and on. We are living in a rotten world. We are all rotten people, and I'm including myself in this. We are all sinners. We all need forgiveness. We all need repentance. We all need to, you know, do and engage in repentance on a daily basis, regardless of whether we are Christians and we have, you know, we've been saved by the grace of God, and God is, you know, a big part in our lives, leading us into a better life or not. You know, if you are not a Christian, it's really important that you come to Jesus and that you give God a chance to come in your life and to change things around. But it is so important. Forgiveness is important, to forgive others who have done wrong to us. It is important that we really, you know, rise up to the challenges which are in front of us, to be mothers and fathers for our children, and to stop any attempt, any attack on our families in any form of disintegration. And again, I appeal to you guys, you know, be fair to your women and treat them lovingly, you know, treat them like Christ treated the church, that he died for the church, and that he laid down his life for the church. And it would be great if your wives would have the same assurance that you will be ready to lay down your life for them and for the family. And if they can pick this up, if they can sense this, your marriage would be very, very strong and very, very rewarding as well. So, the battle for the children. The devil is very good at it. The Roman Empire, the story goes, or the saying goes, that the disintegration of the Roman Empire and the fall of Rome started with the disintegration of the family. You know, there was a lot of promiscuity. There was a lot of easy come, easy go kind of living in Rome. And as this took place, and if sort of excesses took their course, the empire went down. And we can see something similar today as well, that the strength of many nations is going down as families are disintegrating. And if, as people, no longer have the strength to rise up against the tide that is coming into their countries against them. Very, very important. Very, very important. Very important also that we have got this weird stuff in society that men are feminized through the media. They're encouraged to be demasculated. And women are encouraged to be more masculine, men more feminine. And we've got this reversal madness that is going on. And we're going to talk about the whole gender thing later on. We've mentioned it many, many times, but it's one of the most weird and most bizarre things, which historically has never been here. I don't even think in Rome we have had this stuff going on. It's always been some sort of fringe thing that happened in societies, right on the edge of society, and now it's sort of put right into the middle of society, and children are encouraged to neither be here nor there. It's just crazy. We are living in a very, very crazy world, and we need to deal with this. We need to deal with this as Christians, from a Christian perspective, and let people know that, guys, what you are doing is crazy. It's not going to work. You're rebelling against God, and you're going to pay the price for it eventually. And we know we are living in the end times, and the reason why I feel urged more than ever before to record these things and to put them out on the net is that that I'm convinced that that the second coming of Christ, the rapture, is just right around the corner. And maybe when you hear this, you will find that a lot of people have disappeared, have gone, and that was a rapture. And you decide to, you know, at a late comer, to give your life to Jesus Christ. It's important that you listen to this stuff and that you listen to what is being going on. This is the reason millions of people murdered for nothing. Millions of innocent lives murdered in the womb. This is the reason why the wrath of God is coming upon mankind. Because people refuse to repent, they refuse to turn from their ways. And on the contrary, they proudly, you know, march through the streets, they shout pro-choice, and all they're really saying is pro-death, pro-destruction, pro-Satan. And that is why the wrath of God, amongst other things, is coming upon mankind, where good is declared to be evil and evil is declared to be good. Very, very bad times we're living in. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I want to pray, Father, for all these mothers who are out there today, who are struggling with the decision of whether to abort or not. I pray, Father, that you will speak into their hearts, that you will lead and guide them by the Holy Spirit and bring them on the right way, bring them on the right track, so that they will not follow the will of society or whoever is indoctrinating them, but the will of God, that they will follow your will and that they can receive the child that's inside of their womb as a gift of God, rather than a burden that is going to give them a hard time. We pray, Lord, that women will change their minds and that they will walk away from the abortion clinics. In Jesus' name, amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.